Ebenezer and family and friends, thank you so much for tuning in, for connecting with us, whether you're using our app or you're on our website or you're viewing this later. Thank you. The Lord is doing so many wonderful things, and he is grooming us all. He is changing us to his likeness. He truly is allowing his light to shine through us all as we get in his word, as we seek his face. My friend, he got a new dog, and it's an Australian cattle dog. And he's just excited about it. So I looked on, just kind of see what the traits of it. And it was like, it's a loyal dog, and, you know, it's smart, and it's easy to clean, and the size, and all these traits, because it is bred into that particular dog. And I just started to think about that. I was like, you know what? As Christians, that should be people, when they find out that we're Christians, they should see the traits of Christ, because we are saved. And we have been changed from the inside out. We're not perfect, but the closer we get to the Lord, the more traits of Jesus. We're going to talk about Christ today and the anointing, the spikenard, and that Mary uses to fall down at Jesus' feet. And that's what our lives should be all about. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. And I pray and believe that you're being edified, built up as you go through your week. That's what we're doing those Bible studies for, that you can be encouraged. Also, continue to pray for us, our online service, 10 o'clock on Sundays, and our 8:45 and 10:45 in-person services. And I just thank you. I thank you for all you do. I thank you for your giving, whether it's using our app or in our in-person services or sending into our secure mailbox. I thank you for staying connected, those who are on the chats or those that you are sitting in your rooms and you're just lifting up your hands and you're praying. I thank you for being the body of Christ. And I encourage you, your assignment is to go out and share Jesus by your living. We're going to talk more about that in the message today. So as we go through these times of distractions and fears, please, the enemy is stepping up his attack, but I'm happy to let you know that Christ is alive and well.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This morning, the scripture is going to come from 1 John chapter 3. Verses 10 through 16. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever loves his brother is a murderer. I'm sorry, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to his word.
Amen. You need to put God first in your life. Every day of your life, put him first in your life. Well, if you put God first, he won't let you fall off. You need to put God first in your life. You need to put God first in your life. Every day of your life, put him first in your life. Well, if you put God first, He won't let you fall. You need to put God first in your life.
I'll pray for you.
If you've been having problems, ooh, that you can't seem to solve, ooh, my God has the answer. and he can solve them all. You gotta get out of yourself and let God have his way. Let him into your heart and he can turn your midnights into day. You say you've been down and you've been feeling low, but if you want to know how to straighten out your life, then you just need to know. You need to put God first. Don't let nobody stop you. You need to put God, put Him first in your life. You need to put God first in your life. Every day of your life, put Him first in your life. Well, if you put God first, He won't let you fall. You need to put God, put Him first in your life.
I like this verse here.
You know, I can't understand it, how easy we forget how the Lord came through when we needed Him. He's never failed me yet. God always comes to my rescue whenever I'm in need. He'll rescue you and He'll see you through whenever you feel in need. Well, when you try and you've been feeling low, but if you want to know how to straighten out your life, then you just need to know. You need to put God first. Don't let nobody stop you. You need to put God, put Him first in your life. You need to put God first in your life. Every day of your life, put Him first in your life. Well, if you put God first, He won't let you fall off. You need to put God, put Him first in your life.
Just a closer walk with Jesus. That really should be our prayer. Our focus. And today, as we get back into this series on distractions and fears, we're continually digging. And that digging should take place within our lives, within our heart, examining ourselves, that we can know where we are in Christ and to celebrate that He is a wonderful Savior. Any amens out there? He is a wonderful Savior. He deals with us as we are. I've been reading this book on John Newton, and John Newton was known as the tender preacher. And the reason he was tender is simply he never forgot his life of sin. He never forgot the lows of the lows within his life. So he could always be tender with those that were around him that God allowed to come into his life. And I pray that for us as we grow more and more in the Lord. Don't forget that memory scripture at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, that is a part of our armor. That is a part of when the enemy comes at us, that we can quote that scripture and we can find peace in Jesus. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank You for this day that You've made, Lord. You have been such a good Savior, as said before. Oh, Lord, draw us closer to You. In this world of distractions and fears, there are so many things to get us off the right path. But I thank You for Your word that's powerful, that's anointed, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking and viewing in or listening. And Lord, I pray that we all come more to the knowledge of You, grow in that. Maybe there's some that are listening in, Lord, and looking that don't know You. I pray today be their day that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You have raised them from the dead and You said they would be saved. Let them know that it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from You. Thank You for that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we get into today's portion of scriptures, we're actually building from last Sunday. We'll talk about that. So let's look at John 12 and 9. John 12 and 9. John 12 and 9, it reads, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there," that's Jesus, "and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." John 12, 9, and again, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that Jesus was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." I want to speak from a title today, Missing the Messiah. Missing the Messiah. As we enter into this portion of scripture, just want to build from last Sunday's message where we dealt with protecting our priorities from Luke 10:42. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Points in review from last Sunday's message were the servant's heart, taking time for Jesus, distracted, two sisters, worry and trouble, you remember them, and one thing. And today we're really coming back to focus on the one, that is Jesus. Time frame is 80:33. Jesus is about 6 days out, most theologians hold, from the crucifixion. From last Sunday's message to this message, Lazarus died and Jesus came 4 days later and raised him from the dead. So we got this monumental miracle in between. And today we pick up after that miracle, where Jesus comes and he is eating with Martha, he's eating with Mary, he's eating with Lazarus and the disciples and all those that are around. So this is kind of a celebration meal. We also find, as we look at the harmony of the Gospels and look at other portions of Scripture in Matthew 26, 6 through 7, that this is actually Simon the leper's house. So they have so many people, they've kind of expanded themselves, and they're going here, and this is just a blessed time thinking of what Christ has done. Let's jump into this section of Scripture in John's account, John 12 and 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was one who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him." Here's our first point today. I really want you to focus in on this and think about your life and maybe where you're at, what you're going through. This point is, be thankful and never forget. Be thankful and never forget. As we said before, this is a meal of celebration. I mean, Jesus has come. He's given Mary and Martha back, their brother. The tension within the text is that we never hear from Lazarus. We never get any insight on what he had gone through, what he saw, what he experienced. And maybe this is because Jesus did one of those things, tell no one what you have seen and what you've heard. But he's quietly sitting at the table. But still, this is a magnetic moment that people are being drawn from everywhere, hearing about Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, and the Christ comes and raises him. This has had a impact on Mary and Martha. But notice there's something in the scripture I don't want us to forget as we're talking about be thankful and never forget. Within that second verse, it says, "There they made him a supper." And look at this, don't forget this. Martha served. Yes, I want to read that portion again. "There they made him supper, and Martha served." Now, I find this very interesting, especially coming from last Sunday's message, that we dealt with Martha's spirit, her spirit of kind of pushiness, and even taking to the point of telling Jesus what to do and concerned about what Mary was doing. But we find her right back in this particular place of serving. But notice at this point, it has to kind of come up in our mind, does she still have that same attitude as she had before? I've found out that sometimes within our lives, we can easily go back to our old ways. There ought to be some amens. We can be touched by the Lord. He can minister to our hearts. We can even get revelation. But if we don't fight to hold on to that word that God gave us, we can find ourselves doing the same old from last Sunday. We talked about protecting our priorities and how many of us were encouraged that we're going to do better, that we're going to get in God's word, that we're going to draw closer to Him. But by the time we got to Monday or Tuesday, we find ourselves falling right back into those same old ways. Henry Ford actually was attributed this saying. He said, if you always do what you've always done, you're always gonna get what you always got. Isn't that heavy? Yes, we have to make a change within our lives. And I pray that Martha had made a change, but just as looking in this scripture, she's serving. She's right back in that same place as she was before. And I pray that her attitude has changed. And our attitudes have to change when it comes towards Christ, that we want to be closer and closer to Him. I'm talking about missing the Messiah. Look at John 12:3. Oh, I love this part. We've got Martha. She's back in that serving a role. But it says in 12:3, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Here's another point. Fall down at His feet. Yes, fall down at His feet. Now, as we observe this scripture, and we'll kind of dig into it, please understand that this scripture has been talked about in other portions of the scriptures, and sometimes Mary's name is not there. Sometimes it's just a woman, which has caused theologians to wonder, maybe Christ had been anointed several times. So as we stick closely to this text, we find out that Mary is the one who is the center of attention here. W. MacDonald, he writes and gives us clear insight at what's going on. Each time we meet Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. Here she is wiping His feet with her hair. Since a woman's hair is her glory, she was laying her glory, as it were, at His feet. Needless to say, Mary herself would have carried the fragrance of the perfume for some time after this. Thus, when Christ is worshipped, the worshipers themselves carry away something of the fragrance of that moment. No house is so filled with a pleasant aroma as the house where Jesus is given rightful place. The question that we all have to ask ourselves, do we smell like Jesus? Yes, do we have the fragrance of Jesus that's all over us because we have been in His presence? All of us know this as people who fry chicken, or you may be frying fish. If you're in that house where that frying of the chicken is taking place, or the frying of the fish is taking place, please understand, when you leave that place, everybody will know that you were in the place where the chicken took place and the fish took place, simply because that aroma, that smell gets all in your clothes. The smokers out there, you know you have to make special arrangements because of that smoking smell can get into your clothes, and you have to make a decision. It can get into your car, and if anyone else comes around you, they can sense and know what's going on. Therefore, it should be the same with us, that when we are encountering people around, there is something different. There is a sweet fragrance of God that's on us. I've been in places within my life that I didn't tell people who I was, that I was a pastor or anything, and I was around them, and sometimes they would come at me and they would say, you know what, I want you to know certain things about me. And I was like, why are you telling me that? And they said, because I sensed there was something different about you. Just the other day, this man came to me, and I meet him from time to time, and he says, I want you to know what my New Year's resolution is going to be. I'm like, okay, all right, what is it? He said, I'm going to cuss less. And I'm like, well, cool, great for you. I said, I didn't know you cuss that much. He said, I don't around you because I know that you are a religious man. I know that you you serve the Lord. And I never told you that. He said, I can just see that. And that's what that fragrance is all about, that in our lives, whether we tell people or not, there is a definite difference within our lives. There has been a change that's come over us. Any hallelujahs out there? I'm talking about missing the Messiah. That smell of Jesus needs to permeate us wherever we go. Look at John 12:4-5. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? That's what he says. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. I'm going to deal with this point extensively. The sin nature. Yes, the sin nature. In this beautiful moment, you know, everybody's there. They're celebrating this miracle. Christ is there. Things are coming together. Now we see Mary. The anointing is going on. People are all around. It's beautiful. The fragrance has filled the room. All of a sudden, the enemy is there. As we look at our lives, have we ever been at that point where we're seeking God and we're going in, and then right where we're taking those steps to grow closer to the Lord, it seems like the enemy is right there in the room. The enemy is right amongst us. You can just put amen in the chat. This is the enemy speaking up here. Notice John 12:5 again. He says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now, this is very important. Judas speaks up at this point, and logically this makes sense, because this 300 denarii actually would equate to 300 days of labor. So you would get a denarii a day, and so 300 days of a regular person working, this would be the price. That's close to a year in a sense. And so what he's saying is, you've taken this perfume that was very expensive, and all you did was just pour it on Jesus. We could have taken this to get more funds so that we could feed the poor. But we find out something in the sixth verse. I love this as God reveals his heart. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Somebody say thief. Yeah, just write it down. Thief. And had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Man, I am telling you at this point, as we think about our lives, how often can we be close to the Savior and be missing it? How often can we be close in the same room with Jesus, but yet be just like the devil? Matthew 12:34, Jesus actually teaches on the sin nature and what's going on in Judas. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at this 35th verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. This is Judas at this point. It sounds good when you just hear the first part of it, but now we see the heart, the intents of the heart that are all messed up. Theologian John Rao gives us a vivid picture of what's going on here with this connection with Jesus and Judas. He says that anyone could follow Christ as a disciple for 3 years, see all of his miracles, hear all his teachings, receive at his hand repeated kindness, be counted as an apostle, and yet prove rotten at the heart in the end. All this at first sight appears incredible and impossible. Yet the case of Judas shows plainly that the thing can be. Few things perhaps are so little realized as the extent of the fall of man. Yes, yes. You can go to church and be evil. Yes, you can be a deacon or a pastor or sing songs and still not be converted, have a relationship with the Lord, because our hearts can be messed up. And the only one that can save us is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. Judas is right there in a working capacity, the treasurer. That is someone that's supposed to be trusted, but he was actually putting his hand into the treasury box and taking money out, stealing right around Jesus. But this is the kicker. Jesus allows it to happen. How many people are missing the Messiah? Look at John 12:7-8. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The 8th verse, for the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Here's another point. Jesus always has the last word. Yes, Jesus always has the last word. Now, this is important. Following us from last Sunday, and I pray that you saw that message, please, the same similar situation comes up with Martha. Martha accuses Mary, tells Jesus, you need to tell her to come help me. So that whole process, but now the characters have changed. Martha is not coming and saying something about Mary. We see Judas Iscariot is saying, telling Jesus, telling Mary what to do in essence. And now Jesus, he has the last word. Notice here, he brings out, he says, let her alone. God's word stands. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. He says, let her alone. He doesn't understand. Judas doesn't understand what's going on, nor the people that were in the room don't understand what's going on. But Jesus says, this is a spiritual situation. This is something that's going to carry on, be fragrant, even at the cross. I just want to jump ahead. Please, this perfume is so expensive. There's a high possibility, even as he will go to the cross of Calvary, the fragrance smell will still be on his skin, this spikenard. And he gives also another reason here. He says, for the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Missing the Messiah. He's giving us a prophetic understanding that he is going to have to die on that cross of Calvary. Judas has just missed the Messiah. Mary is right in God's will. The people that are around are still confused at what's going on. And saints, I want to encourage you in our lives as I look at what's going on in our society and the world. I believe it's getting closer and closer to Jesus' return, and I don't want us to miss the Messiah. I want us to be ready as a church, as a people of God, living holy, that when he cracks the sky, we can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servants. I'm telling you, let's not miss the Messiah. Look at John 12:9. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. This is a big one. This is a big point. Double-minded. Yes, double-minded. Now I want us to look at some of the levels of his. James actually speaks of possibly what's going on in these people that have entered into the room, into the area, to knowingly look at Lazarus and Jesus. And let me explain this. James 1:7 says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In essence, they should have been there just for Jesus only. Yeah, it shouldn't have been just coming to see Lazarus as a circus act of something that Christ had done. No, it should have been, I want to get to know you, Jesus. I know you can deliver people. I know you can raise people from the dead. But Lord, I got something going on in me. I'm a sinner and I need your grace and your mercy. Remember when Peter, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and he kind of got caught up in the moment. Moses and Elijah showed up, and all of a sudden he just kind of lost it. He became double-minded too. Matthew 17:4. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Double-minded. He's like, we just going to celebrate all of you on the same level. But Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Notice God did not say, this is my beloved Moses, this is my beloved Elijah, but he said, this is my beloved son, hear him. I want you to celebrate him. And so often we can get caught up in everything else and miss the Messiah. And then Matthew 17:6, when they heard this voice, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. We must not miss the Messiah. We can become so focused. God put this on my heart, on the blessings from the Lord, that we can actually miss him. Hear that again. We can become so focused on the blessings from the Lord that we can actually miss Him. Yes, we have to come to the point of realizing, I want to be at Jesus' feet. I want to seek the Messiah. I want to love Him. I don't want to miss out on what God is doing in this season in my life. I don't want to miss out on celebrating who He is. I don't want to miss out on any moment and forget what the Lord has done for me. Are there any shouts of praise? Remember the children of Israel. They were warned when they were going into the promised land, or at least getting ready to go into the promised land. God used the mouth of Moses to give them a solemn warning in Deuteronomy 8:10. He says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Deuteronomy 8:11, he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Missing the Messiah. How many of us have forgotten? How many of us are not keeping the word of the Lord simply because we've gotten caught up in the blessings? Let me show you Deuteronomy 8:12. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. 13th verse. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Missing the Messiah. How many of us have gotten caught up? We're so blessed and things have been multiplied that we have forgotten. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, I think some of you right now just need to take a praise break. I don't know if you need to pause and just say, you know what, I'm just going to take a period of time that I just want to thank God for His goodness. I just want to say hallelujah because I remember what God has done in my life. Deuteronomy 8:15, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. That 16th verse, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you to do you good in the end. And that 17th verse, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I'm talking about missing the Messiah. Could we be missing Jesus? Could we be at the point within our lives? And yes, health is in our body. Yes, we have acquired certain things, but we missed out that it was God's grace that was working in us, that we could actually impact other people's lives, that souls could be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Could we be caught up in our celebrations that we say that we're celebrating Christ, but they're mingled with pride and selfishness? We're saying we're lifting up Christ, but yet we're really lifting up ourselves. Saints, could we be missing the Messiah? Notice this last verses of this section here in John 12, 10 and 11. Listen to this. As all of this is going on, the anointing and Judas and the crowd is around. Lazarus is sitting at the table. John 12, 10 and 11. But the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death. Also, just in the chat, say, kill Lazarus. Yeah, that's what they want to do. Kill Lazarus. That is heavy. Lazarus died. Jesus showed up 4 days later, raised him up. Now people want to kill him. 11th verse, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Final point. Do you really believe? Yes. Do you really believe? You got to ask yourself that. How is your relationship with Christ? Is it so much that you really believe? Because if you believe, there are going to be some significant steps towards Christ. You're going to get in His word and you're going to pray more. You're going to want Him more. And if you find yourself in sin, you're going to repent and you're going to say, God, forgive me. That 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then it says, if we say that we have no sin, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Please understand, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. Notice this, John 12, 10 and 11 again. It said they plotted to put Lazarus to death. Yes, this miracle was so huge. 4 days coming after he'd been dead. Everybody knew, man, the mortification had set in. Deterioration had been set in his body. Lazarus was gone. 4 days, Jesus come and raises him from the dead. There is no sign of deterioration. They know that a miracle has been done. But instead of celebrating Christ, they miss the Messiah. They want to kill Lazarus. Wow. They're sending out hitmen to take Lazarus out so that this miracle can't be lifted up. Notice that 11th verse, because many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. They looked at Lazarus and they say, okay, that is wonderful, but I don't need Lazarus. I need Jesus. I need the resurrection and the life. I need the one that can raise the dead. I need him to raise me. That's why Jesus has to go to the cross of Calvary. He has to do more than what he did for Lazarus. That was significant, but for the Christ to go to the cross for us, for Christ to go and let us know that he is everything. John 14, 10 and 11 says, do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus has always been about people believing in him and not missing the Messiah. That's why he said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. There ought to be some amens in the house. I am so glad for a Savior that loved us so much to go to that cross of Calvary, to take nails in his hands, nails in his feet, to carry our sins when people could be so much in the dark, when they could be missing the Messiah. Do you not realize even on that cross that people spit at him? They talked about him. They said that he could raise others, but he can't take himself off the cross. He can't deliver himself. They were ridiculing him. Even one of the thieves started off together, and then one of them stayed there, but one came to himself. He said, you're not like us. He said, but when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And I'm so glad for a God that would reach out, because once you found the Messiah, you'll never be the same. He said, this day thou should be with me in paradise. Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb. You know the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we can know who the Messiah is and we can tell the nations. In 1800, John Oatman, he wrote this powerful hymn. He says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He says, oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Are there any shouts out there? Do not exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel simple, full, and free. Prove him and you will find that promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Oatman goes on and says, lift them up by living as a Christian. Let the world and you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. And then he brings it home. He says, lift them up. Lift them up. Lift the precious Savior up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Let us not miss the Messiah. Saints, God is showing his presence in such amazing ways. He's showing that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still doing miracles. And even in these dark times, I'm seeing some wonderful things happening. But the signs are here. It's getting closer to Christ's return. My wife and I, just the other evening, we were reading through Revelations. And I'm like, wow. It's getting closer. It's getting closer, because there was one time I would read and I was like, man, you know, that can't happen. How is that going to happen? But now I am seeing these blocks start to come together. But yet I am so reassured that there are hearts out there that are becoming tender. Maybe they've been beat up so much by the world and the issues and the struggles and mistakes. They just want to see the Messiah. They want to see Jesus. And guess what, saints? God wants to use us. But we have to make sure we're not missing the Messiah. We want to show the world that he is alive and well. Remember, we want that fragrance of him to be all over us. That perfume. Oh, that he saves to the utmost. He's a loving God. And I want to let you know, if he can save me, he can save you. If you're out there and you don't know him, I don't want you to miss the Messiah. Scriptures are clear in Romans. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It says you will be saved. In that 10th chapter, Paul the Apostle actually starts talking about that his heart's desire was for Israel that they would be saved. And in that whole process, he talks about faith, this whole process of really getting past ourselves and trusting the Savior. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Then it goes on to the 9th verse. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, I want you to receive that gift today. Why wait? Why put it off? I'm telling you. Things are changing so quickly. That tornado that came through Kentucky, if many would only known, man, they would have changed some things. If they'd only known that was going to be their last night, they may have done some different things. But saints, please understand, it's getting dark. We have to make sure that we're encouraging others. So I want you, if you're not saved, to get saved and to know that Jesus is your everything. Know that God is faithful. I was listening something the other day, and this grandmother, she was 82, 83, and she used to love the family to come over, and she would feed for them, and every time that they would leave, she'd say, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. Yes, and that would be her ending, and sadly, she got COVID, and she was battling, and she told him, take me off the ventilator, just, I don't want to live like this anymore, and they called her family around, and with her last breath, she said this, she said, I'm not going to see you anymore, I'm dying, but I'll see you in heaven. Isn't that good news? When you have a faith in Jesus, you know your future is secure. When you know who the Messiah is and you haven't missed him, you know, oh, the wonders of the Lord. Saints of God, I pray today that we buckle down, that we get into God's word even more. Remember that we protect our priorities, that we not miss the Messiah. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word, Lord. Letting us see all these ins and outs from Martha to Mary to Judas to the Pharisees. But Lord, thank you that you shine. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. Thank you for your son that you sent for us. Lord, help us to be more like him. Father, we just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. I tell you, some of y'all just need to give him some praise, give him a clap, lift up your hands, because he is worthy of all the praise. Let's not miss the Messiah.
Give me a clean heart so I may serve. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee. Lord, I'm not worthy of all. To know my But please give me, Lord, a clean heart, and I will follow thee. Give me a clean heart, and I'll follow thee. Give me a clean heart, so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may use thy.
Just thinking about new beginnings and battling through life of flesh and walking in the Spirit and really committing fully. And this is what this baptism is all about. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." That's good. Even to the end of the age. Amen. As I was talking to the deacons today, just seeing that the time is getting short. It is getting short. But I thank God for his immense grace and mercies, his kindness and his love. Before we get started to this wonderful baptism of Sister Brown, we're going to ask her mother to just lead us in a time of prayer as we just focus in on the Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for all the things that you're doing, God. We thank you for this time. God, we thank you that we're all here, Lord, witnessing a mighty move of God. And Lord, we lift Kanika up to you, Lord, and we know you have a plan and purpose for her life. And God, we know that you have predestined her for great things, God. So we commit this time unto you, Lord. And let us not forget this time. Let us mark this date as we remember the things that will happen here this evening. We bless your name in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the water,
yeah.
On the water. None but the righteous shall see God.
Father, I thank you for Kanika's expression of faith, Lord. The tears that are running down her face, her excitement about a brand new life, committing to you, Father God. I thank you that the struggles of the past, Lord, even though they may still be there, she has your Spirit and your power that's rolling on the inside, Lord. I pray that she receive your Holy Spirit in fullness today, Father. We exalt you now, Lord. We baptize her upon the confession of her faith. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you for your presence, God.
Thank you.
Thank you for
for showing up and showing out. Thank you for allowing us to get here, Lord. We know it was a struggle to pull everything together, but thank you, God. You have prevailed yet again. Lord, I pray blessings upon Kanika and our family, God. We thank you for victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Come on, stand beside.
Okay.
Well, as we close out, I want to give you this certificate of baptism. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I know the plans I have for your future and a hope. And presented to Kanika Brown, who was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, at Ebenezer on December 17th. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. And I'm going to ask Deacon Rudd before we close, if you would just give us some words of encouragement. You've been on this journey a long time, 80 plus years, 82, 83, somewhere up in there, and just some expressions to encourage you on this walk.
Well, Sister Brown, yeah, that's just right. God bless me to live on this earth 83 years. I accepted the Lord 1953 over in Reedsville. You know where Reedsville is? Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the Reedsville town now. I was out there in the river. And you was blessed to get baptized in nice warm water and clean everything. But that wasn't the thing of it. I accepted Christ. But I always learn, and I'm still learning. And God bless me, I'll be 84 on my next birthday. I'm still learning that Jesus Christ is on his way. You know, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one coming to the Father but by me. And I love the verse, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it with you, because this verse only hit me about 3 years ago. For God so loved the world, God, that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, this is what hit me. That whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are one of the whosoevers. Everybody says, Lord, 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 is not a whosoever. But you don't know it all at once. It comes to you gradually. If God was to give us, and I'm saying us, if God was to give us everything that he wanted us to know, we couldn't take it. He said, I am the light of the world. You know, and I could quote and quote and quote. I didn't always know this, sister, but now I love you. God love you, and so do I. Thank you, Pastor.
Nick, I'm going to give this to you, and as we close out, I want to have a special prayer for you, for your family. As you go forth, that was water, but God did something that was bigger than water. He washed you on the inside. Father, I just come to you right now, and I just lay hands on Kanika, Father God. Lord, I just thank you, God, that it's overflowing, that she's received your Holy Spirit, that she is brimming over right now. God, I thank you that you will cover her. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll push the hand of the enemy back, because I know he is upset and he's going to try to do all he can do to trip her up, Father, trip up her family. But I thank you, Lord, just give her peace, God. Give her peace tonight, or overflow, Lord, that she can just sense you, that the clouds will be pushed back and the sunshine will shine brighter, Lord. I just thank you, God, that she will do greater things in these days, Lord. She will magnify you. She'll not be ashamed to shout when she senses your presence and to share you to others, Father God, to show forth your salvation, Lord. And even when she may trip up, that she'll be quick to confess her sins and know that you are faithful and just to forgive her of her sins and cleanse her of all unrighteousness, Lord. So we thank you today for who you are, Father God. We thank you for ordering her steps. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.